He that believeth on the Son of God hath life, but he that believeth not on the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Of it. The greatest need in our church today is the preaching of the Word of God.
And now we would like to invite you to take your Bible and follow along to Preaching the Gospel Truth. Pastor David Webster from Beulahland Baptist Church.
The book of Philemon, verse 1 of Philemon, verse 1 through 6, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. The text tonight is verse 5, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all his saints, toward all saints. But I want to talk tonight a little bit here on this matter of love and faith that he commends this Philemon, hearing of thy love and faith. And he commends him for this love and faith, not only that he has, but which he has toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. I'm going to try to open up how important this is for us as Christians tonight. And before we do, let's pray. Lord, help us to see this matter of love and faith that is repeated over and over and over in the Word of God by the apostles to the New Testament church. Lord, I pray now that you would truly help me as I deliver this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith and love, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Now, just a little background here is that Philemon was the slave owner. He was a slave owner. He was a businessman. And this little letter is not a church letter. It's a letter to an individual in behalf of Onesimus, who was a slave that had run away from Philemon and perhaps stole something from him when he did run away and went up to Rome. And Onesimus gets saved up there. And we went over this last Sunday night, and he comes back, and Onesimus was in the Colossian church. He got to know all these profitable servants like Archippus and Apphia, Epaphras, and these fellow soldiers, Timothy. He would have got to know all of these and be in this. He was in the Colossian church. We see his name mentioned in the book of Colossians. And I believe it's the same individual. Onesimus is he gets saved, and he wants to make restitution and reconciliation with his master because he knows what he did was wrong. And Onesimus says the Apostle Paul and him are discussing up in Rome the situation. Of course, Paul knows Philemon. He remembers Philemon and the ministry there, and he says, I'll help you. He writes a letter. He says, I'll be the mediator between Philemon and between you, Onesimus, and I will try to help the situation. But you know, you are a runaway slave, and you know that you did wrong by leaving your master, and you know that you are going to, there's going to be consequences. And Onesimus says, yes, master, I know, Paul, I know, I just want to get things right. I want to make all these things in the past right. That's a mark of conversion. If that never happens, if there's things, and you see things in the past bubble up, and you never deal with them, you will never go and grow in your Christian life. If there's things where you've hurt people in the past, you've hurt relatives, family, and you don't deal with that, you are not going to grow in your Christian life. You have to deal with past offenses between you and other believers. And that's what Onesimus wants to do. Paul writes this letter, and they do. And of course, it's a wonderful picture of us and God reconciling us to Himself. And He uses the Holy Spirit to draw us, to get us, to make this reconciliation. And that's what Paul's a picture of the Holy Spirit. Philemon is a picture of God. And Onesimus is a picture of us, slaves, out of fellowship, that need to be reconciled. And he goes back and becomes a slave of Philemon, and I'm sure that, you know, it was all restored. But here, Paul commends this Philemon. Paul would have never written this letter if he would not have seen the evidence in Philemon's life of faith and love. What is this? Well, first of all, we'll see here that this pops up fairly often. Ephesians chapter 1, and you see this statement referred to over and over in Paul's letters to the churches. Verse 15, exactly the same thing. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. You know what? This was evidence. It was good evidence. Ephesians 3 and verse 17. He prays for this same church. He's already commended them for their faith and love. But he says in Ephesians 3:17, he prays for them that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Look at what he says in verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, in verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be what? What does it say? Filled with all the fullness of God. Then he says in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know what this is? This text is a revival verse. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, we see your faith and love. We see it. I mean, it's evident that there is love and faith in your life. And you know what? That's one of the things of salvation that's got to manifest itself. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all the saints. Love to the brethren. I didn't used to love the brethren. I didn't love the Christians before I was saved. There was just no love for Christians. In fact, I would avoid them. And I respected them. I respected people who were religious. It didn't matter what kind of religion. I thought that was good for them. If they want to be, you know, everybody, if that's what makes you happy. And I respected it, but I didn't really seek any connection with them until I got saved. When I was saved, that all changed. Then, after I put faith in the Lord Jesus, then my heart, it became inflamed with a love. You know what? For Christians. To be with Christians, to connect with them, to share with them, to fellowship with them. And Paul says, he says, I've heard of your faith and love to the book of Ephesians, but then he prays. He says, I pray, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That's how he's there to start with. But he wanted it to grow. He says that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. He says this is going to produce something in you. This faith and love is going to produce something in you, in your church, in your life that is going to be unbelievable. And it is what is produced in revival. In revival, revival produces love and faith. It just starts flowing out. But it starts with a few Christians who pray and they realize that God has more than just what you have. There's more. There's more. There's a greater experience. There's a new dimension. There's more dimensions to your faith walk and your Christian life. But it all is in these two pillars, faith and love. Faith and love. And of course, Paul writes that letter to that great church of Ephesus, and it was a great church. It was one of the greatest. Even to the book of Revelation, it goes right to the top of the list. He said, you did everything right, you did all these things right, but he says, you have done one thing, you have left your what? First love. Their love. They had lost their love, this very church. And that's what revival is. Revival is God's people getting back to their first love, and their love for the Lord, their love through faith, and then their love to all the saints. It comes alive, and it just comes alive again. Love unto all the saints. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 23. He's ending the letter. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 4. He is writing to the Colossian church. Now remember, Philemon is one of the Colossian churches. That he's probably, I'm guessing that Colossae is a city that had maybe more than one house church. It does say in Philemon, the church that is in thine house. Now maybe it was the whole Colossian church in his house. I don't know. But it was, maybe there was only one meeting place, but regardless, you see here the same thing again in chapter 1 and verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Love to all the saints. It's evidence. It's evidence of a healthy church. It's evidence of a healthy spiritual life. Your love to all the saints. Do you love the saints tonight? Do you really have a love in your heart? Do you just go out of your way to try and do things for Christians? I mean, you just try to go out of your way to be a blessing to the Christians? That's what it means. Love to all the saints. Is the heartburn of your life to build other Christians? Is the heartburn of your life to help? I'll tell you what we demonstrated to Pastor Langdon and the people of Cambodia last week. I'll tell you what we did. We demonstrated that our love is real. And some of you did it in a big way. I mean, it is love to all the saints. He says, how can this, you that have this world's good see your brother have need? That is what love is. It is love in action. Love to all the saints. I want to ask tonight, do you have a love for the saints? I mean, really love them? You really care? You really will sacrifice and bend to edify, to exhort, to be a blessing, to help in any way? Your love to all the saints. Faith and love. The Ephesian church had it. The Colossian church had it. And Philemon's letter had it. He commends them over and over. I sure like to hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your evidence of love to all the saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Different city, different place, totally, quite a ways away. A city, Thessalonica, still there to this day. Thessalonica. If you go to Greece, it's still there. You can go and visit it. And there's old parts of it. They believe are the buildings of some of these places of when Paul was, this church was started. So it's, and he says in this letter, as he starts the letter, he says that we hear good things about you and we remember you. In verse 3, he says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. It was, you see those two words in verse 3, faith and love. But he puts it in a little different word here. He says, work of faith, labor of love. You know what? You really don't love until you labor. Your labor, your love is showed in your labor. It's showed in our giving, but it's showed in our labor. Where do you really desire to labor? I'm telling you, if you really love God and you love the things of God, there's a heartburn that should burn in you to give and labor for the Lord. I'll tell you, God commended the Thessalonian church. He says, your work of faith and your labor of love. I've heard about it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. If this church is going to become anything, if this church is going to make a difference in Prince Albert, and if this church is going to make a difference in the city of Prince Albert, and that we already are, but it is going to be through the saints, the Christians in this church, who do a work of faith and a labor of love. Work of faith and a labor of love. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14. Paul is talking about himself here. And he's just ended his testimony, and he says in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. But he says now his part, with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. He says the reason the grace of God was exceeding abundant is because of the faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Turn now to the 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul's writing to Timothy and he tells him, he talks about verse number 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, while which some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Then he says in verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, faith and love. You see them together there. He's saying that's what you follow after, Timothy, as a preacher, faith and love, faith and love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He is telling Timothy again on his second letter, probably several years later, Timothy, hold these words of God, sound words. Oh, Timothy, hold them, anchor yourself to them, put roots around them. But he says that he heard in me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Those two pillars, faith and love. Do you have it tonight? James chapter 2 and verse 5. James 2, James is writing to the Jewish Christians scattered. I'm wondering if it's after the 70 AD. It's definitely a time of persecution. And he writes, James chapter 2 and verse 5. He says, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? Hey, that's what it is. He's chosen the poor of this world. That's you and me tonight. Rich in faith. He wants us to be rich in faith. Not just to have faith, but to be rich in faith. And he says, of those that are rich in faith, you're going to, and he just puts it in a little different format here, but it's the same truth. He says, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, he's promised to them that love him. Them that love him. Them that served him from all our life. I feel for the people who've lived their life for themselves. They just live it for themselves. Your day's going to come too. You're going to be laying in a hospital room someday too. You're going to be laying with respirators on you, and you're going to get a call. Somebody in this room, people in this room, you're going to get a call. And you know what it's going to be? The doctor's going to say, we have a bad report. And they're going to take a look and they're going to say, it doesn't look good. You've got cancer. You've got this. And you know something? When you're laying there in that bed, and as your life fades away from you, you're going to look back and you're going to wish you had served him with a work of faith and labor of love. Work of faith and labor of love. Work of faith. Rich in faith. How do we get this faith? I want to have it. I want to have this faith. And this love. I want to have these two pillars cemented to the ground. And you say, Pastor, how do we do it? I want to have it. I want to know it. Well, turn to Romans 10:17. This is where it starts. It says, in beginning to read verse 13. He says, actually verse 12. He's teaching about the Word of God being preached and people responding to it in the work of salvation. He says in verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. All that call upon him. That's where it begins. Verse number 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise of God. You can claim it. Can you look back in your life and say, Lord, I can remember calling upon the name of the Lord. Verse 14, this is how it comes. This is the process. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Listen, God's way of spreading the faith of the Word of God is preachers. I'm all for Bibles being printed and sent. But it's preachers. It is preaching of the Word of God that makes the process of faith go. And it's faith and preaching. And preaching the words of faith that people respond to. It is preaching. There's nothing in all the world that I'd rather be than a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing in all the world. It's the greatest calling there is, higher than anything else in all the world, to be a preacher of the Word of God. It is preaching of the Word of God that God uses to spread the words of faith, and people hear, and they then have the opportunity to have faith in their heart. It's through preaching. Preaching the Word of God. And then he says, to conclude, verse 17. Did you hear it? Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. They hear the preacher, and the preacher, the Word works in their heart, and then they respond to that, and in their heart, and faith is born. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Very important. Preaching faith. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It is hearing the word of God, but doing nothing about it. And that is how God works all the way in His church. It is preaching. The preacher preaches God's, and I'm talking a God-called, God-anointed, God-touched preacher. I'm not talking about some guy that's been shoved into a ministry and doesn't know if he's called or not called, and he's not really sure, and there's nothing, no real fruit. I'm talking about a guy who God has got His hand on, and God has touched, and there's a change when he preaches. There's fruit that comes from it, because it's anointed of the Holy Ghost of God. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of a preacher. I'm talking about an Isaiah. I'm talking about a Jeremiah. I'm talking about a John the Baptist. I'm talking about an Apostle Paul. I'm talking about a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I'm talking about a Billy Sunday. I'm talking about men who have been called of God and used in the kingdom of God for the cause of furthering Christ's kingdom by faith. Amen. It's the only way it happens. It's the only way it happens. I heard the Word of God. I got saved 1977, floundered around for a year and a half until I heard preaching. It was preaching that did something deep down in my soul. It was preaching that's changed something forever. It was when I heard preaching that penetrated in and divided asunder of soul and spirit. Preaching. You know what happened? Faith was born. And you know what I did after I heard the preaching? I went home. I got down on my knees. I said, God, I want that. More than anything else, I want that in my life. Lord, I want to be a Christian like that guy. What preaching does, it puts a dimension and it puts life to the Word of God that nothing else does. Nothing! Preaching the Word of God. You can read it, and we have a whole bunch of those today, the read it kind. The Word. And the Word is part of it. The Word is integral, but it is preaching of the Word of God. What happened with these Hebrew Christians? He says, they heard the preaching, but they didn't mix it with faith. And what it means, mix it with faith, is when you hear it, and then you do something about it. You see, when faith kicked in, is when I came through the doors of that church in 1979, I got in here and I heard more preaching, and I said, boy, there's some changes that need to be made in my life. You know what happened? Faith kicked in. And when I took some steps, and then one day, as I'm sitting in my pew and I see the offering plate being passed by, and I see people, and I took out my part, you know, and I mean, I was trying to be a good Christian, and I came along and I put in my coin, and then I watch, and all of a sudden the next day, Sunday I came and I see all these bills, and I think, those people put bills in this church offering? I was shocked. I didn't know how they kept the lights and how they did all this. It was a mystery to me. I never even thought of it. But then I realized, I have a responsibility too. And I start giving. You know what happened there? Once I learned from God's Word, you know what kicked in then? Faith. And you know what? It works. It works. Everything God gives, everything He gives, it'll take faith to get there. You won't get there by feeling. It won't get there by your intellect and your talent and your way. It'll take faith. Faith. Missionaries have packed up their families. They've taken and they've headed out. I'll tell you what that takes. Faith. Brother Langdon, Brother Wilson, men of God said, I'm going to the mission field. I'm going to serve God. And they headed up. You don't realize what that means and what they go through to do that. How brutal that is to their family. It's hard. Faith. Faith. Your work of faith and labor of love. The work of God is progress by faith, people of faith, in a work of love. And it's when we mix the preaching of the word with faith, with faith. Are you doing that tonight? If God were to come, or He was to write something about you tonight, and He was to say to you, write your little letter, I've heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love to all the saints. Would He write that about you? Is that your life? I mean, do you really prove it? You really demonstrate it? That you love the believers. That's what's going to make this church a great church. When we really get that, I guarantee you, I promise you, nothing, the gates of hell will not stop this church. God's going to keep working in our hearts, keep working in our hearts, keep pecking away, and He's going to keep molding, and He's going to keep, and it's when we hear and we mix the Word and we put shoe leather to it and we do something, God is going to take us. He's going to use us for His glory and for His honor. Faith and love. But don't make the fatal mistake hearing the preached word and then doing nothing about it. You know where you're on your way? You're on your way to destruction. You're on your way to being out on your own, floundering on the sea like a piece of driftwood. Faith and love. You grab those two pillars and you hang on, and God is going to take you and use you for great and mighty things. Now unto Him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Oh, listen, it's for you. Let's pray. Lord, please, Father, help us to be the kind of Christians that made up the early church. Lord, help us to mix love and faith into that dynamite potion that will do the impossible. Lord, and there are great people in this church, Father. And I thank You for everyone. But Lord, help us not to leave our first love. Lord, we pray, work in our hearts, we pray tonight. Speak to our hearts. Help us to respond and go all the way for You. Help us to become soldiers for Jesus Christ tonight.
Listening to Preaching the Gospel Truth, a radio outreach of the Beulahland Baptist Church in Prince Albert. If you are in the Prince Albert area, we would like to invite you to join us for one of our services. Service times are Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., with a midweek service Wednesday at 7 p.m. The Beulahland Baptist Church is located 3 miles east of Prince Albert on Highway 55, across from the airport at the junction of Cloverdale Road. If you would like to contact the church or request a copy of today's message, please call 306-764-1988 or go to our website at www.blbc.ca or email us blbpastor@sashtel.net.